Hello and welcome to Test Geek Exam Prep's podcast. Please visit our website at testgeekexamprep.com, unique solutions to test taking. Today I'd like to talk to you a little about how to best study and pass your FINRA and NASA exams. You know, I like to tell the story that when I first got hired by a small broker-dealer in Portland, Oregon back in 1992, the boss says to me, "Welcome to the team. Here, read this. Take a test." I said, "Sure, okay." He hands me the 700-page Series 7 textbook. And I read that textbook literally cover to cover 3 times. I actually wrote notes on each chapter the third time I went through it. You know, for me, the best way for me to retain is to write it out. If I can write it out, I tend to remember it better. Now, I believe to this day, the only thing that got me past that exam was writing all those notes. Today, of course, there are a lot of resources and tools to help us get through all of our exams. One of the best tools I've seen come down the pike lately is the electronic study calendar that a lot of the publishers offer. You can type in a hypothetical test date or your real test date if you have one scheduled. It will then pre-populate all the preceding days with your homework, thus systematically enabling you to study your material. I think this is one of the best ways to help manage our time management. You know, a lot of us have to work 8 hours a day, then go home and take care of our families and those sorts of things. It's difficult to get through this material effectively, efficiently, and be able to retain all the necessary information. You know, one of the most common questions I get from students is how to best study for their exams. This is usually what follows is the recipe I recommend to best understand and retain the core information necessary to pass our exams. Step one, instead of tackling that entire textbook from cover to cover, take it chapter by chapter, with practice questions after each chapter to help retain those concepts and to practice your test-taking techniques. For example, read chapter 1, then go online and do 20 practice questions from that particular chapter. You know, you can also, if you have it available, enhance your reading with a video on that specific topic as well. Next, read chapter 2. Then go online, do 20 questions from your online practice questions on that particular chapter. Then do 20 questions from chapters 1 and 2. After you complete those questions, then read chapter 3. Go online, do 20 questions from that particular chapter, and then 30 questions on chapters 1, 2, and 3 cumulatively. Then read chapter 4. Do 20 online practice questions from that chapter, and then 40 questions on chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. You get the idea? This is truly, I believe, the best way to obtain, retain, and reinforce that necessary information. Now, warning, you know, I see some students who actually go through hundreds, if not thousands, of practice questions when they're studying for their exams. Sometimes I believe this can dilute the core content that you need to retain for the test. Now, I remember seeing one publisher advertising 500 option questions for the Series 7. 500. Man, I don't want to do 500 option questions, especially if there's only 20 or so on the real test. You know, give me 50 or 60 really good option questions that best reflect the questions that are going to show up on the real test. I certainly don't want to do 500 questions. Again, like I said, this can sometimes dilute that core content that we need for the test. Now, I believe in being prepared, even a little over-prepared for the exam, you know, as opposed to being under-prepared. But some of these publishers add so many of these questions, questions that will never show up on the exam. Step two, I am a firm believer in using exam supplements and or cheat sheets, if you like. You know, These can help us retain the key facts we know will show up on the test. I think everyone has seen the graphic for interest rates, the teeter-totter, and how interest rates affect bond prices and bond yields. You know, we know that this is going to be on most of your exams. Why not draw that out while you're going through your practice questions? Also, come test day, when you sit in front of that computer and you've gotten the computer booted up and the clock is starting to tick, you know, just sit there and take 10, 15 minutes and do a little data dump on those concepts we know will show up on the test. I just think it's a whole lot better than trying to rely upon your random access brain memory instead of having it right there in front of you when the questions come up. Also, some of the key facts, you know, besides the interest rates, the options, as we said, you know, there's a lot of good option graphics out there. The state laws and rules and regs, we can make graphics for all of these that we can duplicate come test day. Step 3, take a class in your area if possible. If you have a class near your hometown, you know, these classes are designed to focus specifically on the test content. Now, hopefully, if it's a good class, they can also show you some of the subtle differences between the text material and the real test. They do differ. Now, these exams are copyrighted material. No one's allowed to duplicate the test questions. Quite honestly, I believe the FINRA exams, the Series 6 and Series 7 tests, they're pretty close. You know, if you ask 100 people, they'll probably give you 100 different opinions on that. But I believe that most of the questions on the Series 6, Series 7 exams are pretty close to the practice questions you've been working on. Some of the NASA exams, Series 63, 65, 66, these questions can differ quite a bit sometimes. So make sure that you do some exam supplements and some cheat sheets and do that data dump come test day. Step 4. Take practice final exams so that you can simulate the test-taking experience prior to your test. I like doing at least 4 practice finals. That way it'll give you a good average weighted score. Also, many of these exams provide diagnostic breakdowns so that you can identify and then fill in any remaining holes you may have, you know, 4, 5, 6 days prior to your test. Depending on which exam you're taking, you'd ideally want to score somewhere in the 70s. Now, I know almost all the publishers tell you, generally one of the first few pages you see in the textbooks, if you can consistently score in the 80s, you'll pass. Well, geez, you think? But how many of us can consistently score in the 80s? That's a pretty tough score. More realistically, if you can score somewhere in the 70s, somewhere ideally, again, depending on which exam you're taking, ideally somewhere in the mid-70s, upper 70s perhaps, I think that'll give you your best chance of giving you a good chance of passing the test. You know, most of these practice exams are designed to get you within about 5% of your real score. Step 5, pass your exam. Get this thing out of your life. Get your real life back. I truly believe that if you systematically study this material chapter by chapter, rather than covering that stuff from cover to cover in the textbook, it will give you your best chance at success. Man, I still remember sitting in that library day after day after day, reading chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. If you systematically take it step by step, chapter by chapter, you'll have your best chance. Best of luck, everyone. Take care.